and now in Proverbs. Chapter 3. Verse 11, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof." When you think about God's discipline, I don't know what you think about, but I hope that you think about his discipline as being more than like a whipping or a spanking of some sort. I think that's the way that word is used oftentimes today. Discipline means I've disciplined you with something like that, some kind of pain. God's discipline can involve something painful, but it's more than that. It also involves instruction, and it involves training, and it involves warning, and it involves encouragement too. All these things work to discipline us. This is what God does to train us or to discipline us. In fact, every single thing that God allows into your life as a Christian has a purpose. And its purpose is to discipline you. Its purpose is to train you. And that's why, even when something bad comes into our life, we should not despise it, like verse 11 says, and we should not become angry, and we should not complain about it. That can be a hard thing if we don't remember that everything is allowed by God for our training. He's got a purpose for every single thing. Its purpose is to instruct us, train us, discipline us. Verse 12. "For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." God's discipline and his correction, and even his willingness to allow unpleasant things into our lives, is a sign that he loves us. It's not a sign that he is angry at us. It's a sign that he loves us and that he's using it to make us more like Christ. That's the object. Verse 13. "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding." Happy is the man who finds wisdom. And I gotta give you Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 at this point, because we're going to be talking an awful lot about wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says this. It says, "In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so when you now look at verse 13 and you read, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom," you know that you could also translate that, "Happy is the man who finds Jesus." Because in Jesus are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge found. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, or Jesus, and the man who gets understanding. When you're talking about having God's wisdom, you're talking about having Jesus in your life. You cannot possibly have the wisdom of God in your life unless Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. You cannot have the wisdom of God in your life unless Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's because the Bible says Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, as well as what I've already read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 14, talking about wisdom or Jesus. Verse 14 says, "For the gain from it is better than gain from silver, and its profit better than gold." Jesus gives you what money cannot buy you. There are benefits from having wealth, I'm sure, but the benefits from knowing Christ far surpass anything that money could possibly give you. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I hope you feel like I do. I feel like $1 million and then some when I'm fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. And I know that the joy that I receive from that, I know I have never found anything in this world that has ever come close to giving me that kind of satisfaction and joy. It's great. No wonder the Bible says what it says here. And then verse 15, it says, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Think about your greatest desires. Everybody has desires. What is your greatest desire? Think about what it would be. Imagine how happy you would be if you could obtain that desire. But then remember this. Fellowshipping with Christ gives you much more joy than anything else that you may desire could possibly give you. So you already have the opportunity to enjoy life a lot more now because you have Jesus. The other stuff, if God gives it to you, that's fine. But you're going to find out that it pales in comparison to what you already have with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. And it's talking about wisdom. And of course, again, that's talking about Jesus. And notice she has something, or he has something in both of his hands. Jesus doesn't put his hands behind his back, you know, like he used to when you were a kid and say, guess what hand? And if you guess the right hand, you get the prize. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't have to do that because he has something in both of his hands for you if you belong to him, if you are a Christian. In the one hand, the Bible says he has eternal life. In the other hand, he has spiritual riches. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Boy, don't miss the last part of that. Everybody wants to know what God's will for them is. How do we find God's will? You got it right here in the last part of this verse. All her paths are peace. You want to know how you know if something is God's will? Do you have peace about it? Do you have an inner peace about it? That's how you know. You can tell that God is guiding you, that the Holy Spirit is guiding you, if you have a deep inner conviction about doing something. If you have a deep inner peace about doing something, it may not always be fun. It may not always be something that appeals to you in your flesh, okay? It may not be pain-free. And other people may think you have lost your mind. But if it is God's will for you, you will have a deep inner peace. Because all of her ways are peace. All of her paths are peace. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. Wisdom is a tree of life. Jesus is a tree of life. He's like a fruit tree, and the fruit that he gives to those of us who know him is a life worth living. I never had a life worth living before I met Christ at age 26. Never. No matter what I tried, Jesus has given me a life worth living. And he gives that to anybody who fellowships with him. 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. God did not fling the sun and the moon and the stars out into this universe like a little boy with one of those zillion bubble machines. Remember that? The big old flat thing. You dip it in the bubble stuff. And then you just swing it around like this. And the bubbles, you get about 2,000 bubbles, you know, they're flying all over the place, wherever they go. That is not how God did it. That's not how God made the stars and put them in that place where they are right now. He thought it all out before he did it. That's why the sun is close enough to heat, but not too close. So it fries. It's because God knew what he was doing. By understanding, he made the heavens. By wisdom he made the understanding. He knew exactly what he was doing when he did that. 20. By his knowledge the deeps broke forth, and the clouds dropped down the dew. And that's talking about the flood in Noah's day. When it was time to flood the world out in Noah's day, God knew the most efficient way to do it. He got the earth from both ends. He caused the huge underground oceans and water reservoirs to bust through the crust of the earth. And then plus that, he opened up the windows of heaven, and that water vapor canopy that surrounded the entire earth, that plunged to the earth by the bucketfuls. And so the earth got it from both ends. That's why it didn't take long to flood this thing up. Verse 21. It says, my son, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and don't let it escape from you. You think about it, the opportunity to be instructed by the same wisdom that created this world is an unbelievable privilege. You just think about what you have at your disposal in Jesus Christ. All the treasury of wisdom and knowledge are ours in Christ Jesus. The same wisdom that created the world, the same wisdom that designed everything, is at your disposal. You can tap into it. No wonder God says, don't let it slip away. It's an offer that's too good to be true. It's an offer that's too good to refuse. And we have to be careful not to let it slip away. We have to be careful to take advantage of it through the Word of God and prayer, fellowship with Christ. Verse 22, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. They'll be life for your soul. That is a literal rendering here. The Word of God, the wisdom of God, will be life for your soul. You know what the Word of God does to you as a Christian? It energizes your soul, doesn't it? You can go in and sit down by your desk after a hard day's work or something like that, and you're just kind of tired mentally and spiritually, and you open up the Word and you pray, and you take in the Word of God and the wisdom of God, and it energizes your soul. It gives life to your soul. You know, when you prayerfully take in the Word, it's as if a spiritual generator starts producing electricity inside of your soul. Then something comes alive down in there. I don't know what it is, but something comes alive down in there. Verse 23. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. In other words, if you live by the Word of God, you're going to have a sense of confidence. You're going to walk securely. If you live by the Word of God and walk with Jesus, you have that deep inner peace and that sense of security that vanishes in a heartbeat when you get out of the will of God. Your life, your lifestyle, your way of life, and your fellowship with God will cause you to feel secure. Verse 24. If you sit down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. A guilty conscience and a fearful mind, those aren't the only reasons why people sometimes don't get a good night's sleep. But I can tell you this, they will never be a reason that you will be kept awake at night if you walk with the Lord. That's one thing that won't happen. Not if you're walking with the Lord and trusting Christ. Verse 25, do not be afraid of sudden panic or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. I think one of the questions that I have been asked more than any maybe is a question that is asked by Christians who love God and they stumble over the fact that the wicked seem to have it made and good things seem to go so well, or things seem to go so well for the wicked. And it's easy to envy the success of the wicked. That is, it's easy to envy the success of the wicked when you forget that they are, when you forget the hazard of living in rebellion toward God. When you forget that, it's easy to envy the wicked. But they are living in rebellion toward God, and that is a very hazardous way to live. People who live in rebellion toward God are a heartbeat away from hell. Why would you want to envy somebody like that? Think about it. Put everything into that eternal perspective. So what if they have a good paying job? So what if they have a great house? So what? So what if they have the whole world? Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And so why would you envy somebody who is a heartbeat away from hell no matter what they have? You don't have to worry about that sudden terror that will come upon the wicked. At least when you walk with God, because you know Jesus Christ, you don't have to fear the sudden panic that will come upon those who don't know Him when they die, when they stand before God and they aren't ready. Verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Sometimes we see how God saves us from trouble. But I know, and I've talked about this before, that's just those times that we see how God has kept us from trouble are few and far between. Just a drop in the bucket of all the times that He does keep us from trouble. In eternity, I believe He's going to show us all those times. Look at verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. In other words, if you owe something, pay it. If you can do it, God says, do it. Never withhold payment of a bill. And never withhold returning something that you have borrowed if it is in your power to repay it or to return it, God says. Look what He says in verse 28. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. If somebody has a need, and you have the means to meet that need, whether it's a need to hear about Christ, or some kind of a physical need, if somebody has a need, and you have the means to meet that need, and the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do that, don't delay. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and do it. Because the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do it for a reason, and He's prompting you to do it now for a reason. I'll never forget, an acquaintance of mine, a lady, several years ago, she just felt prompted to go and tell this 40-year-old woman about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit kept pounding on her over and over again that night. Go tell her about Christ. Go tell her about Christ. And she kept putting it off. And she didn't do it. And the next morning she got a phone call, and that 40-year-old woman died suddenly of a heart attack. That is why the Holy Spirit wanted her to go tell her about Christ. And so whether you can do something good for somebody spiritually like that or physically, it doesn't matter. If the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do it, He's doing it for a reason, see? You may not know why, but He's doing it for a reason. And we need to trust His voice. 29. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. In other words, don't take advantage of somebody simply because they trust you. And don't take advantage of somebody simply because they would never suspect that you would ever do anything to harm them. In other words, God is saying, don't take advantage of somebody simply because there's a good chance that you can get away with it. Verse 30. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. In other words, don't look for a fight. Some people are bullies. When I was in high school or grade school, I was that way. Man, I would pick on people. I didn't care how big they were. I would pick on them and pick on them and pick on them until they fought me. And they never did anything to me. I thought about that immediately when I read this. Oh, what a lousy bum I was. You know? When I was a preteen, a young teenager. Don't look for a fight. Don't pick on people. Look at verse 31. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. Don't look up to bullies. Don't make a hero out of somebody who uses his muscle and pushes weight around to get what he wants. Verse 32. For the perverse man, and that's what a bully is, somebody who uses whatever leverage he has to, you know, push his weight around and get his own way. God says the perverse man is an abomination to him. A person like that is a twisted mind. That's what the word perverse means. Twisted. A person with a twisted mind is somebody that God despises. But look at the last part of verse 2. But the upright are in His confidence. Boy, that's a great verse. The upright are in God's confidence. You know, I was just reading the other day in Proverbs, I think chapter 8, where it says that God delights in human beings. He delights in us. Isn't that amazing? When you consider how sinful we are, He still delights in us. He likes us. And here it talks about the upright are in His confidence. He takes those that He knows loves him. He takes those people into His confidence. In other words, like a good friend will share things with you that they will not share with anybody else because they know that you love them and because they know that you You know, it's an unconditional friendship as far as you're concerned. Just like you might share something in confidence with somebody like that, God, if he knows that you love him and you live for him, he'll share things with you. He will open up his heart to you when you are reading the Word prayerfully. He'll tell you things about himself that other people won't know. See, he lets you in on things about himself. And your knowledge of him grows deeper. And that's when it becomes more and more exciting to be a Christian. Verse 33. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the abode of the righteous. We have a choice. We can live in peace. We can live in confident assurance. We can live in joy. We can choose to live that way. Or we can choose to live in fear and in guilt and under God's condemnation. The choice is totally up to us, no matter what our situation may be. Everything depends on our choice to either live for God in rebellion against God or living for God. The choice is totally up to us. Verse 34. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he shows favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. If you are a wise person, then according to God's word, you are also a godly person, because the two go hand in hand. So if you are a wise person, you are a godly person. And God says if you're a godly person, then you will be honored. Even in this world, there are some people out there who are not even saved who will respect a good Christian who's living the way they ought to live. I was listening to ESPN radio the other day while I was working, and the announcers on this talk show were talking about three different athletes in the world today, and they were talking about just what class acts they were. And they were just talking, these guys are unsaved. I mean, you can tell they're unsaved by listening to them. But they were talking about these three particular athletes, pro athletes, just how classy they were and how much respect they had for them. And I happen to know that all three of those were Christians. See? And so when you live a godly life, even those who don't receive Jesus Christ or don't respect Christ, they will see something in you. And even if they don't admit it, they will have respect for you. On the other hand, verse 35, if you live an ungodly life, or like God says, if you live like a fool, you're going to become well known for doing disgraceful things. It'll be just the opposite. Again, the choice is one that you and I can make. Chapter 4, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. There are no young people, children, teenagers in this room. But the great thing about videotape and audio tape is somebody may be listening to this in the year 2040. I mean, you just don't know. I've already listened to messages from 1945, 1950, and I was blessed because it was the pure word of God. It didn't matter. And so I would just say to any young person who may be hearing this message, if you have a godly parent, you have something that a lot of people do not have. And they are a gift from God. And so, like verse 1 suggests, listen carefully to what they say. In verse 2 it says, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. A lot of people don't have godly parents. And if they don't have a godly parent, try to find a godly older person somewhere that'll spend time with you. Because you can learn an awful lot from somebody who's walked with the Lord for a long time. And you can benefit from all their years of experience. They'll teach you good things, like verse 2 says. Verse 3, when I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother. Solomon gets personal here. He's talking about him and his dad, David. Look at verse 4. He taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. David was a good dad because he loved God so much. He was a good dad. He took the time to give advice to his son. And David wanted his son to have a good life, which is why David spent time with his son and why he taught him about the Lord. Verse 5 and 6. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The big thing that David wanted for Solomon was for him to get wisdom. In other words, he wanted his son. David wanted his son Solomon to live for God more than anything else. And the biggest thrill for any godly parent is to see their child walking with God. Because, you know, any godly parent recognizes that living for God will result in the best life possible and an eternal life. You can't find a godly parent that doesn't want that more than anything else for their child. Nothing else matters. Not really. And that's the way David was with Solomon. I'm going through verse 8, by the way. Verse 7 says, the beginning, I like this, listen to this. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Don't you love it? Don't you just love God? The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. I love that. No, what he is saying is this. What he is saying is the first step in having wisdom is to be motivated. To go after it. That's what that means. Be motivated and determined to go after wisdom. Because you know why he said that? Because in this life you get what you go after. And if you don't go after wisdom, don't think you're going to get it. And if you're not pursuing a relationship with God, don't think you're going to get it. You're not going to draw closer to God unless you're motivated inside to go and pursue that. For the most part in this life, you get what you go after. You don't always get what you go after. But you don't have to worry about getting what you want if you don't go after it. It takes work. Last part of verse 7. And whatever you get insight. Well, insight or discernment is another word for insight. That's a byproduct of wisdom. And that's a byproduct of walking with God. And so walking with God will give you that discernment, that insight. It'll help you to choose between good and bad. And it'll help you to choose between good and best. And it'll also help you to know how to choose between what is eternal as opposed to what is temporary. In other words, walking with God will help you to squeeze the most out of this life that you possibly can by making the right choices. Verse 8, and I stop with this. She will place on your head, whoops, skipped it, prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. You get out of a relationship what you put into it. Doesn't matter what it is. Man and woman, parent and child, friends, whatever. You get out of a relationship what you put into it. If you don't make your relationship with somebody a priority, it's not going to prosper. And if we don't make God a priority in our life, that's not going to prosper either. If we don't make God a priority in our life, then our relationship with God won't prosper, and the blessings of God won't come our way, and the blessings of wisdom won't come our way, and it won't prosper in us. So much is determined by just our simple choices. And that, what we choose to do makes all the difference in the world. I don't think there's any such thing as luck for a Christian. All comes down to making the right choices prayerfully. And Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name.